I really want a Snuggie. I want an Avs Snuggie. I want to go to an Avs game wearing an Avs Snuggie.
I'll act like I don't know you. You know that, right?
No, I will hug you.
Jay!
Don't look at me like you don't know me.
My dad's like, isn't that James? No. I don't know that. That guy's special. That's a special guy.
I think your
guy.
Dad would ignore me sooner than you would. You'd be like, nice Snuggie. Your dad'd be like, you look like a moron.
Throw... Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this show, my man James Tape Leg Graylian break down the game since our last show. We talk about the Avalanche's chances in this year's playoffs. We answer your hashtag AskAHP questions, and we discuss cupcakes because hashtag cupcakes strong. Those topics and much more coming at you in episode number 89 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. James and I will be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. And I just messed everything up because James threw me off and he got up and got some water.
Hi.
Hey, James.
There we go.
How's it going?
Are we going to start the podcast yet?
James Cupcake Graylian, folks.
Hate you.
That's not new.
I know.
How's it going?
It's all right. How you doing?
Are you ready for some playoff hockeys?
Yes.
Playoff hockeys.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's been a while. It's like riding a bike. Playoff hockeys.
I don't even remember what playoff hockey is like. It's been so long.
I remember watching it.
I remember the Sharks. I remember going and seeing a Sharks playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Avs Sharks.
Those were good.
Those were fun.
I remember those.
Last time the Avs were in the playoffs, Craig Anderson was the goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem right.
And Dan Boyle scored game-winning goals.
Against their own team.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fun time, and yet, this is even more fun.
I like this better.
Did you do a real intro? Things off completely here?
No, not really. No.
Oh, good.
No, it sounded pretty much the same.
Good.
Yeah. So
I'm all discombobulated.
So am I. That's nothing new either. Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast, folks. This is episode number 89. There was no 89s in Avalanche history.
No 89s.
Let's do 8 plus 9 is 17.
Mm-hmm.
James, your favorite number 17 in Avalanche history. Here's your choices.
Lollapalooshi.
Are you ready?
Oh,
no,
I'm sorry.
You have to listen to the choices first.
I'm a bad listener.
Jim Cummins.
Mm-hmm.
Radim Vrbata.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Matt. Jari Kurri. Landon Wilson. Steve Downey. Aaron Lollapalooshi. Just for his nickname. I mean, the nickname's a given.
I love the nickname.
Yaroslav Halinka.
Ooh. That's a toughie. I mean, it's got to be Vrbata, obviously, for quality.
There wasn't much quality. I mean, Kurri was, he only played a little while with the Avs. It's good. It's cool to see, Hall of Fame players come and play for the Avs for a season.
And I think I've probably waxed poetic enough about Jim Cummins.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you're not going to choose him.
No. I mean, I paid good money to watch him throw away a game for the Avs completely. Mm-hmm. And, single-handedly threw an Avs game because he got whipped in a fight twice, decided, I'm going to go back for a third try. And the dude was like, come on, I already beat you up twice. I'm over this.
And that was it.
And the Avs lose on the ensuing five-minute major that was not matching because the other dude was like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
good
no.
times.
I'm going to have to say Vrbata for quality and Lollapalooshi for nickname. You?
I'll go with Jari Kurri just for history.
Nice.
Because history. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We ready to grab?
We have a lot of games. It's like
we have games, and then we're going to talk about implications.
Okay.
So, all right.
First one up on is March 25th, right?
March 25th, Avalanche at Nashville to play the Predators. They win 5-4 in a shootout.
Mm.
Avs are down too early. Gabriel Landeskog, last minute of the first, halfway through the second. Get used to this trend because Landy's getting clutch. He's not Tyson Berry clutch.
Yeah, he did not have a great start to the season, I thought.
Some big goals
lately. I mean, there's been the question of his health because of concussion issue, blah, blah, blah. But, he's been turning on a lot more lately.
He's playing like a captain. That's always good to see. Cody McLeod ties the game at third and ties the game at three in the third. Nick Holden ties the game at four in the third as well. 44 seconds after another Preds go-ahead goal. This was kind of a back-and-forth game, obviously. Ryan O'Reilly, Gabriel Landeskog scoring the shootout, while Varley stops two of three Predator shooters. And Gabriel Landeskog, like we had mentioned, does what captains do when their teams need them to. Two goals, an assist, and seven shots on goal. Number one star of the night by NHL Network. That's what captains do. Stastny, two assists. Varley, 29 saves. Avs come back three times to get two road points.
You know, the whole trend of there, it's a huge trend with the Avs right now. Go down by two and then come back. Go down by two and then come back.
It didn't happen in San Jose the other night, and literally it was strange.
Yeah,
it was weird to watch the team not come back. I guess that's a good thing.
It's a good thing, except, you know, the if I have one concern about this team, it's that they just don't seem to be a second period team. They don't seem to do well when it's time for the long change. I don't think the change has anything to do with it. It just seems like there's more fire under them in the first and the third. And in the second, they just kind of hold back. I don't understand why.
They're good at hanging in there, though. They don't blow games in the second, that's for sure.
No, but you can only protect, you know, are you protecting a lead? Are you, you know, are you waiting for your chances? Or are you creating your chances? That kind of thing. You know, it's only going to work so many times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully there's still some magic left in that.
Absolutely. I wouldn't rely on it for the playoffs. No. Is what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you have, if you're waiting for your comeback to come around to the third period and you're just surfing in the second, you're going to get taken advantage of.
The playoffs are a whole different animal. We'll talk about that, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
March 27th, the Avalanche.
Like a wombat.
What?
It's like a wombat.
What does a wombat do?
It's a different animal.
So is a chupacabra.
Well, right now it's not either one of those. The regular season is more like what? It's more like a pug on an energy drink.
Okay.
Okay.
And the playoffs is like a
chupacabra or wombat.
Okay.
So glad I could derail that. March 27th.
Getting your money's worth right here. March 27th, the Avalanche play the Canucks at Pepsi Center, win 3-2 in overtime. Matt Duchene ties it at one in the first period because he scores against the Canucks. That's what Matt Duchene does. Gabriel Landeskog, 2-1 lead in the second period off a goal that reminded me of how Joe Sakic and Peter Forsberg used to work. We don't get to say that very often. But great feed from Paul Stastny to Gabriel Landeskog. That was that connection there. The Canucks tied up late in the second period, and Tyson Barrie with his third overtime game-winning goal this season and the fourth of his career from Matt Duchene in overtime. Matt Duchene commands some attention when he has the puck. We all know that. We miss that since he's been out.
Mm-hmm.
The Canucks forgot all about number four right in the slot, all alone in front, right in front of Eddie Lack, and he beats him high glove side. Varley, 29 saves, and congrats to EJ, who played in his 400th career NHL game. Any thoughts on that one? The Canucks are not the Canucks that they used to be.
Oh, no.
Not even close.
Well, they just fired their GM, which I kind of don't blame them, except it's a good start. They could definitely get rid of John Tortorella and nobody would cry. And I think that, but the problem is that there's a lot of money involved. John Tortorella has 4 more years on his contract.
He really has
$2 million
more
years? A year.
Oh man.
They give him a 5-year contract. That means that unless, and most people think that John Tortorella is done in the National Hockey League after the Canucks, which A, I think they're wrong, and B, it's way too early to tell. But
his style's not going to work with every team though. That's
no,
pretty obvious.
But the thing is that, like, you know, you've been down this, just about everybody listening has been in a job where they've had one of those managers that obviously their style doesn't work, but you're getting paid, so you have to, so we're going to bring in a guy who's going to, who's going to make sure that you're doing your job. You've got an ownership that says, I've got a bunch of underachievers that are making a ton of money. I need to bring in a guy that's going to crack the whip and make this work and whip them into shape. And that's what John Tortorella is. He's not, you know, you look at coaches that go elsewhere and get successful over time and like, but it's like you match the coach to the roster. He's the guy that you bring in when you're mad that your overplayed players aren't giving you what you expect. And there's always going to be somebody who wants something like that, even if it doesn't work. And right now, and with this Canucks roster, it doesn't work. But somebody always needs, at some point, always wants an ass kicker and thinks it's the right thing. And generally, they're wrong.
And it's not going to work forever.
No.
That's for sure, too.
No.
It's a special thing.
But I think that John Tortorella will be back somewhere else, but I think that you know, he's not going to work on this roster. I think he gets one more year, and we'll see.
In the meantime, I mean, the Avs played there the other night. It's just dead in the building. Seems like nobody really cares. The team plays like nobody really cares for the most part, at least.
The Canucks?
Yeah, they have nothing to play for right now, and it was just a matter of it just – even the second period, the Avs were a little bit off, but they hung in there, but – it just seemed like a matter of time before the better team took over, and that was the Avalanche.
One of the things when Tortorella came in was, we're going to get these guys to block shots. We're going to get them to go down and block shots. And, like, within three games, somebody broke a leg blocking a shot. And, you see that, you're like, what am I doing here?
Yeah. I can't remember the stat, too, but Ryan Kesler hasn't scored in some crazy amount of time. The Twins aren't playing like they're used to.
Oh, they're all.
They trade away, you know, they let one of the goaltenders go in the offseason. They trade away Luongo, and what do you have left?
They're all banged up and hurt, you know. Yeah. It's and I understand what's, you know, I understand what's going on down there. It's not pretty. They mishandled just about every situation they possibly could have. Even Luongo's, I think we mentioned this, that even Luongo's agent said that had he played in the outdoor game, he'd probably still be a Canuck.
That sucks. Sucks for them. I mean, I think they deserve, I think every team, every city deserves a good hockey team or at least a good sports team that you can get behind. And well, things have kind of fallen apart up there.
30 teams and the NHL wanted parity and only 16 make it to the playoffs. It's if you really want parity, this is going to happen to every single team.
Are there no Canadian teams in the playoffs?
There is one.
One.
Montreal.
Yeah.
But that's it. Six
that's pretty
Canadian teams out. Well, 5.5 because, you know, the Winnipeg Jets are still pretty much the Atlanta Thrashers.
I don't know if Toronto wants the Leafs anymore. So 4.75?
Hilarious. I think the media's got to be having a blast up there. It just seems like they just love it when when they go down.
An Arctic blast.
Oh, man. So you, funny.
You hate me. It's so funny.
I hate you so much.
Anywho, March 29th, the Avalanche play the Sharks at Pepsi Center. They win 3-2. Matt Duchene runs into Jamie McGinn in the Shark Zone during their first shift.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen Matt Duchene since, which is...
Jamie McGinn, former Shark, in a game against the Sharks, taking out an Avalanche.
It's obviously bad that Matt Duchene, funny. We haven't seen Matt Duchene, but the team continually just does not miss beats. There's one situation in any situation, really in the NHL, for the most part, if your starting goaltender goes down, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Avs are no exception to that, and I don't want to jinx anything, but I think we've seen Jiggy can be competitive. Barrow, we can talk about. I don't know. We'll see. Cross my fingers. Knock on wood. Is there anything else I can do right now?
No.
All right, we're good. I'll just say anything. First period, the Avalanche take the lead very early. Paul Stastny, a minute 33 in. And then Joe Pavelski does what Joe Pavelski does and scores goals against the Avalanche a minute 34 later. Cody McLeod, a shorty, 2-1 for the Avalanche in the first period. John Mitchell, a power play goal in the second period. 8:49 into the third period. Ryan O'Reilly, he still hasn't taken a penalty since, ruins everything by taking a penalty. Freaking goon.
Goon.
He's a goon. He's a selfish goon. And it wasn't interference. It wasn't tripping. It was playing the puck with a broken stick.
Which he didn't actually play the puck with the broken stick. He just didn't.
I don't think he knew it was broken, but that's
I don't think he knew it was broken, but he actually didn't play it with the broken stick. He just played the puck with his feet and still had the broken stick in his hand.
Can't do that.
Nope.
That's against the rules.
You can't do that.
No. On television. Varley 47 saves and the Avalanche clinch a playoff.
Do we need to restart this whole podcast?
We're getting close. We're getting really close. We're going to have to rewind everything.
Don't make me pull this podcast over. I will pull this podcast over.
The Avalanche clinched a playoff berth for the first time in four seasons. The standing room only during this game at Pepsi Center. Shout outs to Scott Thurston, Chris Huffine, Kim Avs Princess, Ted Arcuri, Jason Hotzinger, Kevin Goff, Vince Talavera, Mara Lloyd, Joyce Yeshi, Sean Payton, Herschel Meister, Randy Kroger. Whew. First period meetup. It was a lot of fun. Got to see all those folks. And I forgot a couple folks, too, that may be listening to the show. I apologize if I left you out.
I totally forgot that this game was like this was an afternoon game.
This was.
And I totally forgot and I could have gone to it.
Dude,
but
serious?
It was standing room only, too. As I am.
You could have stood with us.
Yeah.
Anyways, thanks to all those folks who came over. It was good seeing you guys. March 31st, the Avalanche announced that Matt Duchene will be out approximately 4 weeks with a left knee injury. He hasn't skated since, I know that. And they're saying he's going to be out for most of, if not all, the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he comes back quicker, but who knows? I think we all are.
Everybody was talking about how this is, you know, so much like when Forsberg went out and, you know, they still won the cup, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know, it's a
it's a thing.
It's a thing, and I don't know. Matt Duchene had some slumpy months in there. He he had some times where he just was not scoring whatsoever. He was barely making plays, and he had his oblique injury, which I'm not entirely convinced that he's 100% recovered from. Anyways, it's just observation. It's nothing like somebody said anything. It's just one of those things where it's like, well, considering his play before it and after it. So here's this is a team that can, that is suffering through injuries. It's still working. It's still going fine.
That's what I've been most interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Is not who's been out. It's more how the team has responded to who's been out.
Yeah.
They've done great. And I think that they keep going back to the same guys to be able to step up. Mm-hmm. The Ryan O'Reillys of the world, the Eric Johnsons of the world and the Varleys of the world that keep this going.
Right.
So you can afford, I guess, to have a few injuries. Whereas some other teams, like the Blues and the Blackhawks, at least for right now, if they lose their big, huge guys,
they're done.
They have a really hard time. So that balanced scoring attack and the solid goaltending is a recipe for a lot of success. I think we'd all like to see the defense be at least a little better, but the more I think about that, I mean, how many times last year before, just like, dude, Greg Zannon, how many goals are you on the ice for? Mm-hmm. Really? I haven't seen that. I haven't thought that near as much this year because the Avalanche haven't given up as many goals because of the way Varley has played. So I guess it's a little pressure off the defense, which is always good.
Right. Right. It's just, my concern, brought it up before, is where's the depth? The call-ups just haven't happened as much as you'd expect for a team that's had this many injuries. But it's been working. So, I'm not going to complain.
Stick with it.
If you're going to put Ryan Wilson as a forward, then I start to get a little worried. Then I go, is this really what you want to do going into the playoffs?
I continually go back to, when a guy like Duchene gets hurt, do they have a guy that can fill that role either on the roster or in Lake Erie? And sometimes they just don't.
They don't.
They have to fill that role. It's not you bring up your best player from Lake Erie or your best forward because that's not the role you may be looking for. Mm-hmm. So maybe that shows Matt Duchene's importance, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's pretty interesting how there hasn't been really overall that much movement between Lake Erie and the Avalanche over the season where there's been a fair amount of injuries.
Yeah.
So I guess that shows a lot of faith in your players, and this is the team we're going to go with. And I don't know. Who knows?
Well, it's just, Lake Erie Monsters are going to miss the playoffs again. They've made the playoffs once since their existence. They have entirely been an Avalanche farm team. So it's a question of depth. I got into a conversation with a guy up in Cleveland. I believe it's Metal Todd on Twitter about Lake Erie. He said that there was a meeting with the head coach, and they said, and they were trying to address, we're basically the hang in there folks, we're trying kind of thing.
Isn't that all you can do in the minors though? I mean, your best players most likely in most organizations, you don't have control over your roster.
No, you don't.
You can lose your best player on the spur of the moment.
Maybe
you don't have a best player though.
Yeah. The call-ups so far of any note really have been, I believe it was Vander Gulick, and he got injured.
Yeah, I haven't seen him since.
We have
Paul Carey,
who was very surprising, and
Brad Malone. Don't say Ryan Malone. That's a different Malone.
That's totally different
Malone. He's in trouble,
maybe.
Perhaps.
We'll talk about it.
Wasn't mine.
We can.
Wasn't mine. I don't know.
Ryan Malone
is this my
Tampa.
Car? This isn't my car.
Ryan Malone of the Tampa Bay Lightning got pulled over for a DUI and cocaine possession. And you know
car.
What? I'm gonna
You can call shenanigans?
No. I'm gonna say that it's the exact same thing as when Varley was arrested this year. The facts will come out, maybe. But speculation isn't gonna help anything.
No.
No.
I don't like speculation.
The only thing I knew about Ryan Malone really was I met someone who dated him.
Okay.
I was in Canada. She was a bartender I forget the name of the place, but they had bowling on
the place with the drinks and the bowling.
The drinks and the bowling, the beer and the bowling, and she was very nice.
Okay.
There you go. That's all I really know
That's
about.
All we know. That's all we need to know. Maybe it's better if we don't know
exactly.
More.
Exactly. But anyways, the number two overall scoring, I believe actually is tied for scoring on Lake Erie, just got recalled. And that's defenseman Stefan Elliott. That's a defenseman is tied for second in scoring on Lake Erie. there just isn't the depth. And, you know, I'm hoping that having a coach and somebody involved who was, you know, as involved in the junior system as Patrick Waugh was, and, you know, obviously is involved in more than just behind the bench with the Avalanche, hopefully he's going to have some insight in where to find some of this depth when it comes draft
time. Sounds good to me. April 1st, the Avalanche play at Columbus against the Blue Jackets, and they win 3-2 in overtime. Mm-hmm. This was no joke, by the way.
Funny.
What?
This game was very strange because just about everything seemed to go in off of somebody's skate.
No direct goals on this one. Avs down 2-0 going into the third period. Brad Malone and Gabe Landeskog score in regulation, and Landeskog for the win in overtime. Mm-hmm. Fun fact from Avs PR_NHL on Twitter. Gabriel Landeskog is the first player in Colorado-Quebec franchise history to score a tying goal with less than 5 minutes to go in the third period and then tally the OT winner. Mm-hmm. Tally. Any tweet with tally in there is usually a pretty good tweet. But clutch. I like it. And it looks like I'm predicting a big playoff push from Gabriel Landeskog. I think, you know, what's fun about the playoffs is that people will start to make names for themselves if they haven't already. But I remember in 96 pretty distinctly Peter McNabb saying something about Joe Sakic, who had been great before. But he said, welcome to superstardom in the NHL. You're no longer a secret or something to that effect. I'm really interested. I think I hope it's Landeskog or anybody, but I hope somebody breaks out this way and can show that they're going to be huge in big-time games. Mm-hmm. And that's why I like the playoffs.
Yeah.
Congratulations to the Avs defenseman Tyson Barry, who played in his 100th career game against the Blue Jackets. He's averaging right around a half point a game in his career, which is pretty decent for a defenseman. And James ate a cupcake, ladies and gentlemen, and this became a thing. Hashtag cupcake strong.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, we've lamented the whole, you know, creating a hashtag and, hey, everybody, do this hashtag and do it for the Avs and all that. I just had a cupcake and the Avs won. And
that was it.
It was funny because it probably would have been nothing except the Avalanche Twitter account retweeted what I said, which was, I'm going to do the only thing I can think of right now to change the luck of the Avs. Eat a cupcake. Hashtag cupcake strong.
That's great.
They picked it up. Other people start tweeting it. They started
people are
me.
Doing it. Like I see.
And now, yeah, people are like, okay, I'm going to get cupcakes.
Not just people who follow our show either. It's people. Funny. Yeah, it is pretty funny.
Somebody tweeted, apparently cupcake strong is an Avs hashtag.
It's a thing. It's yeah. So whatever works, cupcakes, whatever keeps working.
Yeah.
There was one play that led to the Blue Jackets 2-0 goal.
Oh, yeah.
The puck bounced approximately, I think they actually counted, what was it, 13 times?
13 times.
I said 24 just to be kind of snarky, but Nate Gennon takes some swats at it, and also, was it Tyson Barry? There's another defenseman in the back there, too, that missed as well. The puck ended up in the back of the Avalanche net, which makes this something worth talking about for
sure.
Well,
it was a 2-on-1 against the Avs, and the puck's bouncing, bouncing, bouncing.
Crazy bouncing.
And Nate Gehrin is just back, and he's doing his best. But the thing is, like, when you play defense, you have to play the body, not the puck. And this is every level. This is even rec league.
And you don't necessarily have to knock the guy over to play the body.
Right.
Either. Yeah.
If you're staring at the puck, if your eyes are on the puck, you're going to get beat, because the first all you're going to do is you're going to try and swat at the puck, and as soon as you do, you get your body twisted around, guy's going to go around you. You keep your eyes on the guy's waist. That's going to tell you where all the action really is going to happen. But this is a situation where it's 2-on-1 and the guys are close enough where, and the puck is bouncing, nobody's got possession at all. Who do you take? You either take a penalty by trying to not, you know, grab them both or something. It's nearly impossible. And by the time that the puck is actually on somebody's stick, it chances are it's either on its side, it's still bouncing like crazy, or, you know, it's not going to settle down flat so that your goaltender can really get a good look at it. So I felt bad for Garrett. And I just, what it made me think of is just how often I'm all over Nick Holden and the fact that, you know, I'm biased, maybe I'm slightly unfair, but I think I'm fairly
biased.
I'm extremely biased and somewhat fair, but this is just one of those tough, this is a tough play.
Oh,
when you're in that situation, you have a moment to make a choice. And you've got like three bad ones that you can make, and none of them are really that good.
It was fluky. The bouncing puck threw everything.
Hung out to dry.
He did.
And you know, it would have been fine if the puck had been shanked wide by one of the players.
We wouldn't even be talking about it, I don't think. Yeah.
Columbus Blue Jackets versus Avalanche. It was fluke goal night, you know. Guys were just like, okay, I'm going off of this guy's skate, then this guy's shinning in. Nothing but net and all that other stuff.
Count it. Avs win, it's all good. April 3rd, the Avalanche play the Rangers at Pepsi Center and win 3-2 in a shootout. Shout out to Vince Talavera, who that's his only team. He loves the Rangers. He's a secondary Avs fan, and he was feeling bad this night, and I was feeling good about that. Rangers score on their very first shot of the game. Andre Benoit ties things up in the second period. And then Tyson Barry goes all Tyson Barry and ties the game with less than a minute left.
Mm-hmm.
And he then scores the only goal in the shootout, which is fabulous. And some more love from PR_NHL on Twitter. Thursday was the night of the game, obviously. Marked the first time in club history the Avs have won consecutive games, scoring tying goals in the final 5 minutes of regulation and winning in overtime or a shootout. So more good late clutch things by the Avalanche. Benoit and EJ both have an assist and 6 shots on goal. And 92, Landy, we love him. 7 hits and 6 penalty minutes. He's kind of gotten out of the penalty box the last couple of games.
Yeah, he needs to because it's a little bad. Worried.
You need him out there. I mean, not only do you not want to take penalties, you want him on the ice to kill penalties or do what he needs to do. So he's the wrong player on both accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And during the playoffs is... that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can – I think he's working on it. I know he knows it. So
exploitable.
That's right. April 5th, the Avalanche in St. Louis against the Blues, and they smashed the Blues 4-0. And mm-hmm. this was kind of the statement that the Avalanche needed going into the playoffs.
This is kind of the beginning of the end for the Blues in a way. I mean, you know, obviously it's too early to say with the end. But they've been after this game, it's been downfall.
Been a hard time. Since.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they looked – they didn't deal with this loss very well, and we'll talk about the penalties here in a second. But I get that they don't like losing. I don't think any team doesn't likes losing. They hate that. But the way they were dealing with it just was, you know, the fans weren't quite sure how to deal with it. They weren't sure whether to boo the Avs, boo their home team. I don't know. Paul Stastny on the power play, and Nathan MacKinnon his 60th point on the season, and Nick Holden all in the second period. Ryan O'Reilly on the power play in the third period, mm-hmm. a very chippy game. It was nasty towards the end, including David Backes jumping Nathan MacKinnon. I can't think of a better word for it. I think that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. The end of the game included 10 misconducts, 1 5-minute major, and a game misconduct for cross-checking. That was Brendan Morrow, and that's what Brendan Morrow does. We've seen it. I've seen it a lot. I mean, mm-hmm. I wasn't shocked at all between the Stars and there. So the Avalanche become the first team in the NHL to beat every other NHL team. And I believe they'll be the only team to do that this season. And
you won Avs header.
I won Avs header again.
29 up, 29 down.
They liked that one right away. They actually didn't leave it up for very long. They went towards the, I can't remember what they, whatever. It all works. So Patrick Waugh becomes the 5th coach in NHL history to win 50 games in his rookie season as an NHL coach. Varley 31 saves in his 2nd shutout of the season. Paul Stastny a goal, 2 assists, and 7 shots. And Nathan MacKinnon a goal and assist.
Did Patrick Waugh shove over anything?
There's been no shovage. Nope.
Pretty calm for, you know, compared.
He wasn't real happy, especially after MacKinnon got jumped. But he's doing a better job of, I think he's done what he's needed to do, especially during the first game of the year. Mm-hmm. Hasn't had to show that. The team knows.
Sure, he made sure he had his meds. Mm-hmm. He's all good.
Maybe that's what it is. He's just that blank, like, far-off stare. He just has no idea where he is.
That's Joe Sacco that you're thinking of.
I saw him the other day, he and Nolan, after the hit on Daniel Paille. I was mm-hmm. like, oh, hey, there's Joe Sacco. Oh. He was actually talking to Nolan. I was like, he talks during the game and everything?
Chewing his gum.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure that Patrick Waugh had some words about Backes. And
he did.
And so did Don Cherry, which is...
Yeah, you know, called a gutless. And then Hitchcock did his old, we know Patrick Waugh is going to talk, and I'm not going to comment on what he said.
Well, it's almost like... I love about Hitchcock's comments is that I'm not going to comment, but here's what I'm really saying. You know?
It's like no comment.
It's like when I hear this, well, look, it's none of my business, but...
I probably shouldn't be saying this, but...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know what? Then you're right. You shouldn't.
I love it. Please shut your hole.
You know, that's what a coach is going to do, though. I mean, no matter what.
He's got his team's back.
Yeah. And frankly, if we had somebody who was doing something like that, we'd expect Patrick Waugh to back him up, you know. But at the same time, you know, Patrick Waugh has also said, you know, pretty honestly at times things like, well, Shiguerd isn't playing very well right now, or this guy really needs to step up. And also doesn't just seem to do it within the confines of the media. So you expect that from a guy, but also I think that Hitchcock's a little smarter than just, you know, than what he's letting on with the media. You know, he knows.
Yeah, I think the media wants a certain response, and he knows they want that response, and he's not giving them that response.
No.
And yeah, I think Patrick Waugh doesn't say anything that player already doesn't know. Yeah. Between Jiggy, between really anybody else.
I'll be honest with you, I'm much happier with that than with the high road that he's taking than, like, let's say what Lindy Ruff used to do in the playoffs with all that kind of gamesmanship back and forth. Yeah. It's just the words. What's going to matter is what is the puck on the ice, and what people do out there.
I know that. Sometimes the media throws a wrench in that, but that's all right. Mm-hmm. April 6th, the Avalanche play the Penguins at Pepsi Center, lose 3-2 in a shootout. Kind of, I don't want to call it an unexpected loss, but the Pens didn't play Crosby, Kunitz, Malkin, or Orpik, along with a couple of Marcel Gotch was another one. Avs down 2-0 going into the third period, and then they come back because that's what they do.
That's not why.
Why?
I bought a cupcake at the second.
Of course you did. Hashtag cupcake strong. That was a big cupcake with a lot of frosting on it, too.
I can't help that. That's, you know, it's Gigi's. That's what they do.
How much was that? Like 15 bucks?
I think it was like $3.75.
Really? That's not that bad.
That wasn't that bad.
Do cake pops work? Just a question.
Dude, don't mess with the mojo. Don't question it. Don't question it.
Okay. I'm just asking a question.
Do you go to like Catholic church and be like, do I really have to sing all this? I mean, can't I just, you know, say, hey, thanks, sorry, and walk away?
I'm out of here.
You know, peace out. No, you go through the whole thing. You put on the hats, you do the deal.
Then you dance and you stand up and you sit down.
Yeah, exactly.
Fight, fight, fight.
Fight, fight, fight.
That's right. Ryan O'Reilly, 18 seconds in the second into the third period. That was great, by the way.
Listen, email us. Don't tweet us saying, that's not how Catholicism works. No, I know.
It's not even close to what, if you're still listening, who knows. Ryan O'Reilly, 18 seconds into the third period. And Patrick Bortolo, right after I'm like, it's late in the game. Why is Patrick Bortolo on the ice?
Mm-hmm.
Tips in a goal, and I will not doubt 58 or Cupcake Strong really ever again.
Thank you.
So way to go, 58. Jussi Jokinen is the only player to score in the shootout. Marc-Andre Fleury, your star of the game, 39 saves.
I really was not impressed with Fleury, though. Even 39 saves, it did not look like a really good 39 saves.
What do you mean?
For Fleury, he just did not look like he was on. He was kind of a rebound machine. He looked like he was fighting the puck more often than he was actually just, you know, with it.
Yeah. He was solid enough.
Look, there's nothing wrong with that save on win.
Was it McGinn and was it in overtime? I think it was. Those are fabulous gloves.
Oh, there were some good saves. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that he was awful. I'm just saying that he did not look like the Marc-Andre Fleury that you're really hoping for when you're walking into the, you know, he's looking like the one that wishes Thomas Volkoon was still around now.
All right.
In fact, I think Volkoon's almost back.
Anyways. I think he is too. Brad Malone, 5 hits in just less than 6 minutes of ice time. And that's how you do fourth line in the NHL.
Mm.
Ryan O'Reilly, a goal and 6 shots, Nathan McKinnon, 6 shots as well. And both James and I and Phil and everybody that was there leave without jerseys in our hands from jerseys off their backs.
Yeah.
Curse word.
Brad Malone, by the way, I think he still had a few good shots and a few good shot attempts on that fourth line.
He played well. He really did. He's done a good job, and maybe he's going to be able to stick around.
He's a fourth line skill guy. I mean, that's the best way I can really describe him. He might turn into a McGinn. He might turn into a Mitchell for all we know.
Yeah.
I think there's still development time on him that there wasn't on people like, I don't know, Ryan Stoa.
How did I know he was going to come up?
How'd you know? But, you know, I think he still has potential, but if you're going to stick him on a fourth line, and he's still going to get you some shots. He's not just going to crush and destroy and all that.
Take bad penalties. He's doing a good job. He's taking advantage of the opportunity, and that's all you want from those guys. April 8th, the Avalanche played Edmonton against the Oilers and win 4-1. Paul Stastny again in the first period. Eric Johnson, 12 seconds after the Oilers tied up in the second. And, dude, I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that the Oiler goal went in off Nick Holden's skate. So that makes Tape Leg happy.
Oh, I felt bad for him. You know, that's one of those that just happens. It's like, you know, I'd love to really be
hating
on you for that.
I was in the
right position.
Yeah.
But, you know, that just happens. And he was actually in the right position.
I'm having a really hard time with his jersey.
Don't do it.
It's affordable. It's a huge mark. You're not going to miss it. It's a beautiful thing. But Ryan O'Reilly's jersey was $100 more. Explain that to me.
That's it?
$100.
Why aren't you getting that?
I already got it. Set 2. White. Coming to my collection.
Yeah, I've got my eye on something.
Okay.
Oh, have I got my eye on something?
Good. Yeah. You should think about getting it. A boring second period, and then Tyson Berry with a power play snipe, and Jamie McGinn in the third period on the power play, I believe. No, maybe not. Whatever. It's Jamie McGinn's 19. We're looking for him to become the sixth player to score 20 for the Avalanche this season. Eric Johnson, a goal and assist. McKinnon and O'Reilly, two assists. Jiggy, 22 saves. And at the time I made this, it may be his last game in the NHL, and that wasn't true. And the Avalanche set a new franchise record with their 25th road win of the season. So no matter how the rest of the road trip was going, they had mentioned this during the Canucks game a couple nights ago, the Avalanche are the best road team in the NHL this season. That's pretty impressive.
Wow.
Road Warriors, hashtag. April 10th against the Canucks in Vancouver, the Avalanche win 4-2. Paul Stastny again. Paul Stastny has scored four of the last seven Avs Twitter Psychic goals, I believe. It's either four of the seven or four of the last eight. So he's getting this team going. Good to see him step up. Stastny gives the Avalanche a short-lived 2-1 lead in the second period. Tyson Berry scores in the third to give the Avalanche a 3-2 lead in the third. And John Mitchell seals the deal with an empty net power play goal in the last minute of the game. And here's all the stuff from that game. Varley breaks Patrick Waugh's franchise record with his 41st win. Whenever you break a Patrick Waugh record, a lot like McKinnon breaking a Gretzky record, you're doing pretty well. 38 saves for Varley. The Avs tie their franchise record for wins in a season with their 52nd. The Avalanche clinched home ice for at least the first round of the playoffs, and the Avalanche take over the outright lead in the Central Division.
And this was the first time that the Avalanche had won in Vancouver in like the previous nine times.
Yep, it had been a long time, a lot like in San Jose, which again they just lost.
Which was stunning because there were times when it was like, okay, this isn't that bad of a team, you know, which is kind of what we were
wasn't even
we had
close.
Before.
The Sedins would take over on the power play, and those days are at least over for now.
Well, for the moment,
for sure.
it's definitely a different look. They've still got some good guys on contract and the like, but at the same time, it's definitely a different looking Canucks team.
Shows you what goaltending can do. I don't think Eddie Lack's that bad, but he's no Schneider or Luongo. That's for sure. And then we have yesterday's loss, April 11th. The Avalanche play at San Jose against the Sharks. And was that yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. As we were, no.
Day before yesterday, because today the Avalanche play the Ducks.
Today, as we record this, there's still the game.
A game, so you won't hear us talk about that too much. If we were going to post this live, that'd be one thing, but we're not, and that's how it's going to be. The Avalanche lose 5-1. The Avalanche haven't won in San Jose during the regular season since I think 2008 or some crazy number like that. P.A. Parento, returns the lineup after missing 15 games. John Mitchell misses this game with headaches and a possible concussion. Tyson Berry leaves this game late in the first period. Well, he came back and played a little bit, but didn't return for the rest of the game. Let's talk about Berra. Reto Berra gives up two goals on five shark shots. Say that.
Shark shots.
Jiggy played well and gave his team a chance to win, but Barra's struggling. He's fighting a little bit. What you got on 20?
All I'm saying is my only thing with Berra is immediately people start lamenting. Oh my God, they gave up a second round pick for him. Hey, the Avs gave up a first round pick for Varley, and it was questionable as to whether or not he was going to turn into what he is. If Patrick Waugh and Francois Allaire say, hey, we think this guy's got potential, then he's got potential.
I'm going with it.
They're carrying three goaltenders right now for a reason.
Nobody does that either. Nobody does that.
They would do that. I remember seeing that in a few other places where it was questionable as to which person was going to be the real backup.
The number one.
Or even the number one. You remember when, what's his butt?
The guy with the mask.
The mustache. Quenneville.
The mustache.
Okay, yeah, he does. I'm not wrong.
It's a thing.
Okay. When he was juggling between Abisher, Budaj, and Kolesnik. And it was ridiculous. And yeah, he was carrying three, but I think it's way, way, way too early to lament giving up a second round pick. Whoopity doo. Oh, and by the way, if it's a second round pick for this year, chances are it's gonna be kinda high.
Yeah.
It's gonna be in the high 40s, early 50s. Considering what they're doing in the playoffs,
right.
So relax, give the guy a chance. Varley struggled right out of the gate. This guy has played a total of 1 1/8 of a game since the trade deadline.
He has no schedule. He hasn't seen live game action for a while. Mm-hmm. I mean,
And you can talk to a guy as much as you want. You can sit him down and be like, look, this is what we're doing. And you can do it many, many times. And it's still going to be frustrating not to play. Give the guy a chance.
Yeah.
Give the Avs a chance with him. You know?
I don't know why. I feel good about him. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he's just a big guy and, you know, I like big guys. But, I mean, like, I think he's going to be fine. I don't – they must have seen – and I go back to exactly what you said. I haven't really doubted anything Patrick Waugh or Allaire or anything Joe Sakic have done since they took over. I'm not going to start doubting them now.
Yeah.
They saw something they liked, and we're just going to bank on it. We'll see it sooner or later.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Hey, what's the worst thing? What really is the worst thing that can happen? Varley goes down. Barra steps in. Maybe it works out, and maybe it doesn't. If it doesn't work out, he gets traded, or he gets put down to Lake Erie, and maybe somebody else gets called up. We're still waiting on Calvin Pickard to come into his own and become the next backup.
Give the guy a chance.
Yeah, give the guy a chance. And frankly, would you rather wait for the offseason to pick up the scraps of whoever's out there and available as far as a backup? Because obviously, Jiggy's not coming back.
No, I think that's about it for Jiggy.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, you know, that if you're freaking out about Barra, you know, and especially after he's only seen this little action with the Avs, just relax. Okay. And keep in mind, okay, so this is the last game that we're going to talk about, because there's only one more game left in the regular season, which happens tonight as we're recording this. In all these games, Avs went 8-2. Relax.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Well, 8-1-1. 8-1-1.
It was
8-2-1. They lost in the shootout to the Penguins.
So it's 8-1-1.
Whatever. They've been fabulous.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I think kind of threw a loop into this whole thing was them signing him before he played a game for the Avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
So they show some confidence in him, and I think that makes it a little bit tougher for people to kind of literally buy in, because they paid him before he even played a game for the Avalanche.
But right.
Showing some confidence in it, like I said, and like you said, if they saw something that they liked, I like it too.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go with it.
Yeah.
Tyson Barry was...
Oh, you know what? There was a Ask AHP question about this.
Real yes.
Fast. We're going to get to Ask AHP questions, but this is actually relevant, so I think it's kind of worth
So this is by Dion, D-E-P Fenn. Yes, Dion, thanks for your question. Hopefully that answered it. Did you want to go a little bit more? How do you help him recover?
Well, no, it's just the whole confidence shattered thing, I kind of doubt it. I mean, this is... You know, the guy's going to sit for the rest of the season, you know, for the rest of the playoffs. He's going to sit unless Jagr gets hurt or Varley gets hurt.
Yeah.
So I think there's plenty of time for him to be worked on, to be worked with. I wouldn't worry at all. I don't know if his confidence shattered. We don't know anything about his confidence, but you know, there's no shame coming in extremely cold and getting lit up by a very, very good team.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
I have confidence in him. Everybody else should too.
I mean, for the love of God, that night, Martin Havlat scored a natural hat trick. Yeah, no, come on.
Does that throw a wrench in everything else that happens that day? Absolutely. Marty Havlat. Okay. Not Martin.
My apologies.
I don't know where Martin went. Maybe that's his cousin. No, I'm just kidding. Patrick Bortolo scored in the second period and tied the game at made it 2-1. Sharks, and P.A. Parenteau had a breakaway in the second period that would have tied things up, that I think would have really changed this game. Patrick Waugh brought it up later, too. He's like, man, that was our shot. And, you know,
if Patrick Bortolo scores your only goal of the game, something else is wrong other than your goaltender.
You're probably going to lose. Alex Stalock looked amazing. He was fabulous. Made 32 saves. I mean, he didn't have to make any crazy saves, but he made some saves that he really shouldn't have. And that's how you win games. And he's... Mm-hmm. His goals against and, you know, backing up Niemi has really proven that throughout the year. April 12th, the Avalanche recalled Stefan Elliott from Lake Erie, like we had mentioned earlier, hoping that Tyson Barry will be back soon. It was actually announced yesterday that John Mitchell as well as Tyson Barry are both considered day-to-day. You guessed it. It is playoff time, though, and nobody's going to say anything about anything.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows when they'll be back. Hopefully it's sooner than later. I think there were some people that were worried about Stefan Elliott being called up, like somebody said that.
Mm-hmm.
Scrolling.
It doesn't. Yes.
Daniel Carr. If Barry is only day to day, why was Elliott recalled from Lake Erie? Just a precaution?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Sure.
I mean, if you got once the season is over for Lake Erie, everybody on that roster pretty much is going to join the team, quote unquote. You know, they're going to be added to the 50 man squad or something like
Some crazy number.
So it doesn't really matter that much. They still had the call up available. If Barry is out for longer than a couple of games, get Elliott in now when it's, you know, against a very good Anaheim team.
Yeah.
Get him in the lineup and work him.
Well, hopefully it doesn't matter. Hopefully the Red Wings can help out the Avs, although you never can depend on the Red Wings to do anything right because of the Red Wings. But the Red Wings beat the who are they playing today? The Blues. If they beat them in regulation, the Avalanche are the division champions. And I don't know whether that would change the Avalanche are going to have 4 or 5 hours between the end of that game and the beginning of their game to be able to make some adjustments. And I'm not expecting a ton of adjustments, but hey, you never know. You never want to see guys hurt.
They're not playing the Blues yet. They're not playing the Red Wings yet. They're playing the Ducks. So I think that's going to be their focus. Time. If there's anything about the Stefan Elliott call up that I find awkward is that
I don't even know Ryan if he's Wilson, playing.
Well, we don't, but yeah. Is that Ryan Wilson is still playing as a forward, and Ryan Wilson is a defenseman. So.
They did move him back once Barry was out for the second and third period the other night. They did move him back, which I think he's much better at, obviously.
But if it, yeah, so what? So but Elliott's a defenseman.
Well, maybe they play Elliott at forward then.
See, this is where I'm concerned about the whole. You know, about all of the depth and
like. I hear you. Well, hopefully they'll be all right. And they also have the Nuggets play at home Wednesday night, which means the Avalanche at the very earliest would play probably Thursday night, which gives the Avalanche those players, if Mitchell needs some time or if Barry needs some time, gives them another 3-4 days to rest up, do what they need to do, and we'll see what starting lineup comes out on Thursday or Friday, depending on network stuff. For playoff hockey. Man, I love saying that. I really love saying that. I love that I have a chance to say that. All right, let's go to Ask HP. There's no rhyme or reason to these. We just kind of plug them into our Google Doc. Derek Avs Rock from Albuquerque. Thank you, Derek. Random subject for the next podcast. Super Joe's retirement banner has the C on it. Why not the same on footers?
Yeah, I didn't really notice.
I noticed Sakic's. I've never thought about why Foot should or shouldn't have, but I think this team will always have one captain. And that's Joe Sakic.
I never really even noticed until you just mentioned.
I guess that says a lot then if it really doesn't make that big of a difference. I wonder if Foot. Well, if Foot looks at it and it's like, well, that's nice.
What happens when they retire Hejduk? Is he going to have a C?
No. Definitely not.
No.
I think Joe's your captain until the next Joe comes along, and there's never going to be another Joe. So
no, I mean, Landeskog might go up because different era.
Yeah,
there was no overlap. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe.
Who knows? I'm sure Foot looks at that and doesn't think there's anything missing. We're still cool with that. All right, from Jade McCarg. Do you think Matt Duchene will get the next A? Who else has a shot in the future of being an assistant captain?
Yes, I'm gonna. Do you think he's gonna have one? I think so.
After what, like McLeod?
After Sastny doesn't get re-signed as a free agent.
Oh, when's that? Wait. Season. What? You don't think he's coming back?
I think that there's two scenarios here. He either doesn't come back or he takes a pay cut because there's no way in heck he continues to make the money he is now and stays with the team.
Is anybody else going to pay him that money?
I think that much money? I think that if anybody did, it would either be Florida or the Islanders.
So... are you staying if you're Paul Stastny?
So I think Paul Stastny's gonna be back, but I think McLeod's obviously coming back. So pretty much the A's are taken right now.
Yeah, for a while I think.
Yeah, when somewhere down the road, yeah, absolutely. Because who's the guy that they go to after every game? It's always Matt Duchene. Yeah. If Landeskog isn't talking that night for some reason, they go to him. And Duchene is almost like a de facto.
Yeah. It's true. So, it's true. I think either that or O'Reilly. I don't know.
I don't think O'Reilly.
Yeah. Johnson's another one. I don't know.
The next question is part of why O'Reilly's not going to get it.
Is that what it is? Will he cut it?
Answer the question. Ask the question.
You read the question. This is from Mike Klinsmann, by the way.
Best worst hairstyle amongst the current Avalanche. Hands down, Ryan O'Reilly. It's horrible.
Worst hairstyle?
Worst. Absolute worst.
He cut the ponytail off. Does that make any difference?
No.
It's horrible. You know who has really bad hair? Is Marchand for the Blues or for the Bruins?
Really?
He has really bad hair. Yeah, they were showing jerseys off their backs last night. He kicks Ryan O'Reilly's haircut.
O'Reilly has that weird mohawkish thing that he can't commit to.
Like, he's no, just dude, on the fence.
Just cut it out. Just cut it off. Do something.
Best hair.
Grow it long. Best hair. It's got to be Landeskog.
He says it in the commercial, but I guess, yeah, I don't.
Dude, that's some serious salad.
I don't really worry about the flow that much. But
he's got good flow. It's not tossed salad. It's the who's got tossed salad? Bordy has tossed salad.
That's don't say tossed salad. It's kind of disturbing.
No, you're disturbing. I'll say what I want. Don't tell me what to say and what not to say. What's wrong with you? This is a podcast. This isn't. What is? Don't tell me what. Don't you make it weird.
It was weird like an hour ago.
Oh, just
all right. At what point did you, Matty Hearn, Avs? Thanks, Matty. A couple questions. At what point did you, at what point did you realize these team could actually challenge?
Game one. I was there. Game one. End of story.
That changed things, didn't it?
I'm not. Yeah. Even beforehand, the buzz, the fact that, you know, with Tanguy out there, then the fact that people were excited about it, you know,
that changes things, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there was a completely different look that, that already it wasn't quite as circusy as what people expected from Joe Sakic and Patrick Waugh coming back.
Circusy.
Yeah. People were expecting a circus. They got a little bit of it at the end, but they were expecting, oh, great. Here comes another Avalanche. Let's bring everybody back. And we're going to go with the nostalgia to sell more tickets. And instead, it turned out that they were actually thinking and doing things and making choices rather than just going with the flow. If they'd have gotten Seth Jones as everybody expected to, but instead they made a smart decision, or at least an educated decision, to go off the board and do something different, and that worked out. They changed up the defense more than anybody actually gave them credit for, and still does. It's the big question of the defense. And hey, I question Nick Holden all the time. But, I question Guerin quite often. But they did more with that defense than anybody actually thinks that they did. It was addition by subtraction.
It's no Hunwick. It's no Zanin, and it's no O'Brien. I mean,
it's no Byrne. Even I mean, they true. That wasn't their choice per se.
No, true though.
But you know, they got rid of 2/3 of the old starting defensemen, and pretty much took the reins off of EJ and Haida. You're honestly from game one for me. It wasn't even it was a matter of, you know, this could fall apart, but this team looks this looks right. This
I like
feels
it.
Right. So for me, it was game one.
They keep going back to it. Ray Bourque actually came up, I guess when they were in Boston early in the year when they shut him out, Ray Bourque came up with "Why not us?" And that kind of became a thing. But I got to go back to game one as well. I mean, there was game one, and then there was when the Avs could prove that they could play with the Blackhawks, with the Blues, who, when you look at the vision before the season starts, you're like, whoa. I mean, they have some work to do. When they showed early that they could play with those teams, I mean, they got whooped by the Blues, you know, late in the fall. But for the most
part, everybody was getting whipped by the Blues at that point, too.
Good point. I mean,
it's the fact that they still didn't give up, though.
Yeah.
That matters a lot. Yeah. You know, it was, and maybe it was also somewhat delusional about the fact that it was the massive culture change, and you could see it. That you could see that there is something completely different about this team from last season. You know, some of it probably was wishful thinking also, that we're not going to suffer like we did last season, even with pretty much the same offense.
It's maturity as well. I mean, this team has really grown up. And then the other question, any moments or plays that stand out in your head? I mean, Glass push is one.
I mean, obviously that's gigantic. I wish that there really was, but it just all kind of... It's been one of those seasons where there's just been so many fun things, and there hasn't been, you know, there's been some great goals. There's been some highlight reel stuff.
I guess if they had a long streak where they just stunk, that would be one thing. Be like, so-and-so's goal really turned everything around. They've been so consistent and so kind of tenacious with the way they played. It's the whole season. I mean, maybe one of the highlights is going back to, and the Avalanche play it every once in a while. It's actually in the pregame. Where Waugh says, we may not win the Stanley Cup, but we're going to bring a Stanley Cup attitude.
Yeah.
And when you hear stuff like that, you're like, yeah, I like it.
I don't know if you remember this. It was the 2003-04 season, Paul Kariya, Timo Solani year, when ESPN had kind of their version of 24/7. It was like a precursor to the 24/7. Yeah. They followed the Avalanche.
I remember.
And they're in that first meeting. And they're like, our ultimate goal is to win the Stanley Cup. End of story. Blah blah blah. But there was just also a part of it where it's like, I'm not buying this.
Yeah.
I'm just not feeling that there's a real a real feeling of anything but like this, almost like it's a business mantra, a mission statement.
Sure.
You know, but that you forget as soon as things start happening. It's, you know, as soon as there's problems or as soon as the business starts, you know, oh, we're customer service oriented. Well, yeah, that's great and everything, but
we appreciate your business. Please hold.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it felt like. And,
it's kind of the company line for a lot of teams.
And it kind of needs to be. I mean, yeah. I understand that you, nobody's ever rebuilding because you can't sell tickets through a rebuild. Nobody has any other goals other than to win the Stanley Cup, even though you haven't made the playoffs in 5 years, you know, things like that. Yeah. It's look at how excited the Dallas Stars fans are right now. If the Dallas Stars fans were eliminated in the first round, hey, they made it to the playoffs and they're building on something.
Right.
And they actually have something to build on right now, which they haven't made it to the playoffs since when? 2008, 2009?
It's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, but this weekend, I actually buy. You know,
I think it's not shoved in your face either.
Yeah.
It's more of all WA says is consistency. We just want a consistent effort every single night. And mm-hmm. I think the Stanley Cup and the playoffs and everything that comes from that is kind of implied. And he hasn't really had to throw that out very often where, yeah, we're in to win a Stanley Cup. You won't hear him say that very often, but you will hear him say all the time, consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've seen. And I think it's pretty refreshing. And it's nice.
I'll tell you a couple of quick highlights for me. In that April 3rd game against the April 3rd against the Rangers, Tyson Barrie, the way when he got that game tying goal,
mm-hmm.
Ovechkin scored a goal very similar to that. Just hang out in the slot, came right back to him, kind of changed his body angle, but kept the puck where it was. So he kind of
trying
stretch
not to,
out
he,
a little
he
bit.
Lost it once, and you said he was trying not to lose it again. Mm-hmm. And just as soon as he got control of it, he just let it fly.
And I thought that was a great goal. That, you know, just kind of get in the middle, and yeah, a little bit of luck that it came right to you, but at the same time, you know, tie it with less than a minute left, never give up. Also in that game was Malone's fight. I can't remember who he fought, but he absolutely owned that Blue Jacket player. It was like three punches. The guy went down, then started to get back up. He's like, no, stay down.
It's McKenzie.
Punched him a couple more times. He stayed down. It was like, this is not something that you expect from Malone. Yeah. I didn't expect that kind of a fight. And it really wasn't like it was a brutal fight. It wasn't a punch in the face contest. It was just, you're going to go down and
you're
going to
stay there.
And you're going to stay there.
Thanks for asking though.
Those were a couple of highlights for me in the recent memory.
I think it's pretty cool that not, you know, necessarily one goal, one moment has really kind of defined, except for maybe that first game.
Yeah.
I think they've been so consistent over time and played so well for so long when a lot of people thought they would fall off. And there's still people. There was some articles that came out last week or whatever about the stats and how the stats.
Oh, yeah, the advanced stats and course.
All the stats are saying is that they're going to fall off. And I heard that earlier. Harrison Mooney from Puck Daddy posted something earlier in the year and say, here's why the Avs aren't going to keep this up. And they kept it up.
Yep.
And you know, that's just noise to them anyway. So,
you know, it is the, you know, the stats focus on an 82 game season and averaging out and regressing to the mean, and every, and at some point everybody regresses to some sort of mean, but at the same time, you know, there is truly playing, one game at a time, and then there's lying to yourself about it. And if you're, you know, you're lying to yourself about it, if you start getting into a slump and letting that go for a long time and things like that, it happens to everybody. It's hard to get out of that for an 82 game season.
Yep.
It just feels like this is a real game to game kind of attitude. Like, okay, yeah, we won the last one, but we got to get greasy for the next one.
Or we lost the last one.
Yeah.
Who cares? Let's go out and win the next
one. Was it the question that was asked? I can't remember if it was O'Reilly. I think it was Landeskog. They asked Landeskog, you know, how important is home ice advantage to you? He said, if we get it, it's awesome. It's absolutely important. If we don't get it, who cares?
We've proven that we can win on the road. How
exactly.
Nice is it to give that answer without people rolling their eyes?
Well, it's funny because it's and as they said afterwards, I think it was Rycroft that said afterwards, listen to what he said. He said, basically, if we get it, great. And if we don't, who cares? Okay. What a great attitude.
Let's go win.
Yeah, let's go win. Who cares?
Hashtag why not us.
Yeah.
Couple cupcake questions from our friend Stephen DeGraff and Chris Joy. We don't know where to get cupcakes without being creepy.
Oh, come on. Ask me the question. Just ask me the question.
All right. James, where's the best place to get cupcake for hashtag cupcake strong?
Okay. I will tell you where I go for my
okay.
current cupcake addiction is Target.
There's a small place.
They have these 12 packs of little mini cupcakes. Yes. You know, this little small red velvet cupcake. They're very tasty. Spongy Monkey Christopher Joy asked me what my favorite cupcake place in Denver is. I'm going to go with Mermaid downtown.
Wow,
Mermaid.
You know cupcakes?
It's right by my work.
Okay.
But the frosting isn't too thick. It's nice and it's like frosty. It's like halfway between a frosting and a whipped cream. It's nice and solid, but it's not going to kill you. Real good cupcakes there. I highly recommend the s'mores. They have a banana one that's pretty tasty. And, of course, good old-fashioned red velvet.
At no point during the season did I ever think we'd be breaking down cupcakes and frosting.
I think you'd be breaking down about cupcakes. You're just sitting there giggling like a schoolgirl. Like, this is something weird.
This is great.
Having a great time.
It's so normal. Ryan Air, 225. What's up, Ryan? The Avs. If the Avs play the Wild by getting to the first round, do you think they can sweep them? And if they play the Hawks by getting... Wait, if they play the Hawks by getting second, what do you think they can do with that series? Maybe takes 5 or 6 games. There's a little bit of an assumption here that the Avalanche are going to win the first round of the playoffs. I think those of you that have followed Tape Leg and myself for long enough know that we're pretty realistic about everything. I would love to see them, you know, go all the way. But the playoffs are very different. I think we know, at least from a lot of other places, as far as the teams that are left, the Blackhawks are going to be a different team during the playoffs. And they've won a couple cups, and they're going to look good. This is very different. I don't think you can't really compare it to anything that goes on during the regular season. The Avalanche being 4-1 against the Blackhawks, I think, is nice, and I think that helps. But I'm not expecting...
And the injuries to the Blackhawks also.
Yeah, I'm not really expecting, like, amazing things. I'm taking it game by game. I'm excited that the Avalanche are there. But again, if you followed us for long enough, we're not going to make any predictions, I don't think. I'm just excited they're there. I hope they play well, and I hope they go deep.
Well, that's Jay's opinion, and now it's prediction time.
Sweeping everywhere.
Now, the Minnesota Wild are kind of an odd duck. There's the one bit, the two bits of pride that they have is that they spent a ton of money on free agencies recently, and that Andrew Burnett scored the last goal on Patrick Waugh's career, and that's it. That is it. Yeah. That's all they really have to have for pride in that franchise. That isn't, but it's a different franchise now. And the fact is that we're wild cards. Who knows what's going to happen with the wild cards? Up until a few days ago, we didn't know if Phoenix was going to be in or not. There's a lot that can happen with these wild cards. I think that this being the first season, we're just going to have to see how it plays out with that. As far as the Blackhawks are concerned, all of their injuries right now have come on the offense, but their defense is still really strong. Even though I'm not too big on Johnny Oduya, he's still better. He's a better defenseman than I often give him credit for. You've got Hjalmarsson, who's pretty good. Hammer Lemmer Ding Dong, as I like to call him.
that would look good on the back of a jersey.
Duncan Teeth.
Duncan Teeth.
it's a really good defensive team. Yep. And they say defense wins championships. Well, balance wins championships. Defensive responsibility wins championships. When you're missing a couple of guys like they are, it can hurt. Marian Hossa's back, which is great, but they won without Marian Hossa before. Now it's Kane and Toews. That puts a little different spin on
it
things.
Does.
But they're still a good team. If you're following the Blackhawks at all, you see that there are guys that are stepping up that really needed to in that absence, kind of like the Avalanche are doing right now. Ben Smith is one of those guys.
Yep.
You know?
No,
and I'm big on Ben Smith anyways, because, you know.
You have connections.
His uncle, man.
There you go.
Guy's my hero.
The Blackhawks make me nervous, and sort of the Wild, because they've been fighting for their playoff life for a while.
Yeah.
So they've had something to play for a long time now, and they just keep that going. Mm-hmm. You find sometimes with teams that have played well, kind of drop off near the playoffs, don't play a game that matters for a month. It takes a little while for them to get going, and sometimes for them to get going is enough to get you bounced from the playoffs. Yeah. So the teams that have been playing with some urgency for a while, like the Wild, make me nervous, and the Blackhawks are just a heck of a hockey team. Even better with Kane and Toews and that defense, like you were mentioning. So I don't think there's any, like, you know, we're all going to root for the Avs, and I want them to do great. Overall, I think it's going to be a great experience, and like I said, I'm interested to see who steps up and who plays well in the big games.
Which Corey Crawford shows up is going to be a good question, because sometimes
he's been on and off, for sure.
But there is no better reset button for a team than we're going to play the same team for 4 to 7 games.
Yeah.
If you want a reset button, the top of the playoffs is it. End of story. Now you have a different strategy. You're not just, you know, oh, we had to prep for this team last, right, then that team, and now we're ready for this team. But, oh, we're looking ahead another 2 games. No matter who, you know, in especially in a condensed season and when you're dealing with some back-to-back games, it is a lie to say that we're only focusing on the next game. That is just an utter lie. You may be doing your best to, but you're looking over your shoulder and you're looking over the next hill.
That's one thing that makes the playoffs so special and mm-hmm. makes them more interesting.
Yeah.
Bottom line, this Avalanche team plays well. I'll put them up against anybody.
Can you imagine if football had like a best of 3 series?
That's what makes football kind of interesting crazy? Too. It would be crazy.
That's why any given Sunday is the mantra, yeah, because once you hit the playoffs,
right,
it's just one game.
Those one and done playoffs are pretty tough. Yeah.
And maybe if this was just one in game or even a 3-game series,
sure,
I would say that the Avalanche would definitely have the upper hand, but
it's not.
And you know, this is where there's going to be a little more tactics, a little more coaching that's actually going to matter other than just, you know, putting the best bodies out there. There's going to be some things that are going to change. And so
health plays a huge factor in it. Who stays healthy, who gets hurt, who tries to play through injuries.
There's a reason that Tyson Berry was the one who got knocked out of the game the other day and not Nick Holden. These guys aren't necessarily targeting each other,
right,
but you know what? If that guy over there gets hurt and isn't there in a round or two when we may have to play them, I'm not going to cry.
That's right.
Bummer for them.
That's called
bully for us.
That's right. Thanks to Ryan, Chris, mm-hmm. Steven.
Oh, by the way, just a little thing on that real fast. The Penguins, Chris Letang came back.
Yes.
He had a stroke. He came back. That's amazing. Right. I can't remember who they were playing, but it was Hartnell was all over him. And they were saying that, and one of the coach, I think it was Baezma, said, you know, you're picking on a guy who just came back from a stroke. And Hartnell said, then he shouldn't be playing.
Yeah,
I don't care. And that's what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's not that it's good or bad for Letang, but yeah, absolutely. We had the same thing recently with a, you know, if somebody comes back from a concussion, and they're not necessarily targeting their head, but if their head gets jostled around and you're hurt again, well, then get the hell off the ice. You aren't ready to come back.
Ask Scott Stevens about all that.
Yeah.
Ask
Savard about that.
They're out there for one reason, and mm-hmm. that's to win and hoist the cup.
Yep.
Wow, you just got me fired up.
Anyways.
Thanks to Daniel Carr, Matthew Hearn. Who else we got here? Dion, Mike Klinsma, Jane McCarg, and Dion. For your questions for hashtag Ask AHP. Derek as well. Sorry, Derek, mm-hmm. at Avs Rock. We appreciate your participation, guys. Hashtag Ask AHP. Are we getting ready to spiel it up?
Yeah, I'm ready to spiel it up. Did you have shout outs or you want to do them after?
Shout outs. I do most of them during.
You did actually do most of them.
I did. I've kind of integrated them. Shout out to Herschel Meister, who put together some music for me. Appreciate it, Hersh. You know, mm-hmm. you know that. And who else? There was one more. I'll think of it.
All right.
You have any shout outs?
Shout outs to the wonderful people who bake cupcakes at Mermaid.
We need some free cupcakes out of this.
No. We're not going to pimp like that.
No.
We're not going to do that. Here's what we need. We need the Avalanche to make Avalanche themed cupcakes. Maybe some
Mermaid.
Red velvet. Maybe some blue frosting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you need a little Avs
logo on the top?
Telestrator here.
Oh, man. That would be awesome.
The cupcake straighter.
Cupcake-inator. hey Avalanche, I know that you're not listening to us because you don't listen to the show, but maybe I should just tweet them. Hey people, tweet them and tell them to make some cupcakes. And it doesn't have to be just for us, just for sale, because you know, cupcake strong, baby.
Because you have a mouth hole and cupcake strong.
It doesn't hurt.
Go.
You can find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com, where you can read some of the lovely posts that Jay has been putting up, see pictures of things that we've been talking about. We put videos of stuff up. In fact, I don't even remember any of the videos that we're going to post for this one. But Jay's been hitting the Google juice pretty hard lately and putting them up.
Bouncing puck video is up.
There's
a couple other videos along with the post. Check it out.
And a couple things up there. Hopefully, maybe you can find the one with Malone and his fight.
Yeah, we can do that.
Blue Jackets.
Good call.
Anyways, there you can also, there's a little link to subscribe in iTunes, which is just the easiest way to get it delivered to your iPod. Or if you just want to listen on your site, you can click the play latest episode hashtag link, and that'll just bring up a player. How nice is that?
That is nice.
You can buy a curse word shirt over there. You can find that at curseword.net or on the site. You can call us at 845-704-7465. That's 854-704-RINK. You can email us at avshockeypodcast@gmail.com. You can go to the Avs Hockey Podcast Facebook fan page. Oh my God, we're just, there's so much stuff.
We're all over the internets.
We're on the web. facebook.com/AvsHockeyPodcast. And Jay tweets at Avs Podcast. I tweet at Tape Leg.
That's what we do.
That's pretty much it.
You ready for the playoffs?
Like you read about.
Do you want to make a prediction?
No.
Okay.
No, let's see. My prediction would be that the Avs actually get out of the first round, which didn't seem likely a couple of, like even a month ago. It just did not seem likely. And some of that is because of the other team. So they're going to need a little help, I think, to get out of that first round. The injuries to other teams have helped in that regard. The injuries to the Avs, I think, are more of the wild card. Other teams like the Blues, like the Blackhawks, they've had a similar roster for a couple of years. And I think that they're a little more locked in, and we're seeing how they respond to those injuries. And it's not necessarily good. We don't necessarily know how the Avs are going to respond completely to all these injuries, especially with Barry gone, because there's a lot of your offense.
It's, I don't know. It's complicated. It's the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, if you would have told us Avs fans at the very beginning of this year that this team would be going in as perhaps the division champion, mm-hmm. we all would have taken it.
Yeah.
Hopefully they do well. So here's the plan for the future as well. James going out of town for a couple weeks, which will be just fine. Hopefully we'll have plenty more Avs podcast. Avs action to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
If not, if they're bounced before then, we'll come back at you not long after the Avs are done, and we'll have a kind of a season kind of ending roundup. We'll round everything up, and we'll wrap our head around it, and we'll start thinking about next season.
This is horribly, horribly unprofessional of us.
Go for it.
But we missed a Ask AHP.
Oh, we did.
Is this Randy Kroger?
Newer one. Oh, why didn't I put that in?
I don't know. Randy Kroger, got a question if it's not too late. Hey, it's not too late, but just barely.
Sorry, Randy.
Has EJ reached his potential, or are we just starting to see him shine? Here's my take on it. EJ, my thing with EJ was that his mind, you'd watch him direct traffic, you'd watch him direct things, but his body just didn't seem to react fast enough to what was going on for the play. He seems to be getting his body and his mind a little more in sync. He's very smart. He's got a really good hockey mind. I think that we are close to seeing his potential, because his potential has actually been, it's up there. I mean, the way that he's been playing, it's really been up there. So I don't know if he's done growing, but if this is it, that ain't bad. It's a lot better than what we were expecting from a year or two ago.
It's definitely not that bust that everybody kept talking about. And I saw a tweet not too long ago. He has more points than some serious names on the blue lines throughout the league, including Drew Doughty, including a couple other big, huge names. He has more points than them. So he's played well. I can see him getting better, but I'll take this for a few more years for sure.
Well, let's just do this quick comparison while we're right here, because last podcast you and I compared Nate McKinnon with Seth Jones, right?
That's what I did.
So how about this? Let's take a look at Eric Johnson versus Seth Jones to number one overall picks. Is this fair? Absolutely not. No way, because Seth Jones has not been in the league that long. He has plenty of time to develop, but number one, he was originally slated to be number one overall, and he's a defenseman.
Yeah.
EJ was number one overall picked defenseman. Okay.
Okay.
So this year, Eric Johnson in 79 games is 9 goals, 30 assists for 39 points, plus 5.
Okay.
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 Seth Jones, 76 games, 6 goals, 19 assists, 25 points. Not bad.
Yeah.
Minus 24. It's it's not really a fair comparison per se, but yeah. It's one that's kind of fun to make. I really think that, I mean, it's hard to say. How was he at the beginning of the year versus how is he now? I think that there's been, I think there's definitely been improvement from the beginning of this season. I doubt that he's done growing per se. He's 26 years old though.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I believe he has three more years on his deal with the Avalanche too. So
yeah, by now you want to see that. Yes, there's, you know, the potential is realized. I think it's pretty,
like I
pretty
said,
darn
I'll,
close.
I'll take it. I'll take it more than I would have taken it in years past. Two more years.
Okay. 2 more years.
All right, on. He wears a size 58 plus jersey. Just saying.
No, just does he?
Yeah, he does.
You better be getting that rather than what size does Nick Holden wear?
58.
But it's not a plus.
No, it's not a plus.
Don't buy it.
Okay. Like you needed a reason to say that.
Exactly. So, yeah, I don't know about Eric Johnson, whether or not he has realized his potential or not. But, boy.
Doesn't mean it doesn't like what we're seeing.
Yeah, exactly. If he gets better, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'd like to see what he looked like playing with somebody other than Haida just because. But they're always out there together. So yeah. they're a good defensive pair. But but to make that comparison, I'd like to see a few games with him with somebody else. I mean, it would be interesting to see what he was like with Barry.
Hmm.
You know, just to see.
You gotta make sure somebody goes back and covers if they join the play though. Did you know that?
Shut it. Hate your guts.
I know. That's why you love me.
Started the podcast early.
All right. You guys thought the show was over. It's not over. It's never over. All right, so
we don't quit until the very end.
No, we sure don't.
Even when you want us to. Even,
please end the pain. Hey, that's it.
Yeah, end the pain, Jay.
Playoff hockey, here we go. Touch the iPad. Yes, that's what we got to do.
Touch the iPad, eat the cupcake, trip the light, fantastic, the whole deal.
That's it. That's all. That's it. That's the whole enchilada. All right, so we'll be back in your ear holes in a couple weeks, either talking more about some Avalanche hockey, about what's going on and what has gone on and where they're going in the playoffs next, or we'll tie it all together a little bit after that.
Yeah, exactly. I got to go to Hotlanta, people.
Yes, travel safely.
Thank you.
All right. And that's it, folks. And just thank you for a great season, a great regular season. We're not done yet. We'll tie a bow around it, either this podcast or maybe the next one, or maybe there's a couple more podcasts. How would that be?
That'd be awesome.
I would love that. We all would. All right. So until then, until we talk at you next, take care. Let's go Avs. We'll see you guys next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. Later.
Oh, we got to go back and listen.
Are you going to rewind it?
We don't rewind. You son of a... Listen, I just love... I spent so many years becoming a sound guy so I could sit here and remind you that there is no such thing as rewinding. Nobody is kind. No one rewinds.
Man, that's easy to get in your kitchen like that. I love it.
Oh, hate you.